just talking negative, right? Not that his kinyan is not a kinyan gomer. What's the Ritva saying? His kinyan is a kinyan gomer. Even the maskana, it's a kinyan gomer. El exeris akosum, shum kli bnei shal vadim vadim vadim. It's exeris akosum that even though he's a kinyan gomer, he has a right to quit anyway. If I'm a kinyan gomer, how can he have a right to quit? The answer is exeris akosum that sometimes Hashem says people have the power to take away other people's property. Right? Not such a crazy idea. After all, without getting to lumdus, maybe that's how Yovel works. The Gemara says Yovel is a horman of the Malka. The Gemara says Yovel, I bought it fair and square, but Hashem says it goes back to the owner anyway. Same exact parsha in the Chumash, Parsha's Bahar. So I bought him fair and square, but Hashem says he can quit anyway. You know what? All right, Hashem has the right to do that. That's one of the privileges, or perhaps responsibilities, of being master of the entire world. But until he's quit, Yodukid Abalabais, why? Because he's a Kenyan Gomer. The Ritva really sounds like it's a Kenyan Gomer. Now, we saw this on the reason I didn't put the Ritva on the Makorah sheet is because the Ritva was on the Makorah sheet. Number one, which is on the Makorah sheet, that's how the Machne Ephraim started. And the Machne Ephraim wanted to know, should you take Yodukid Abalabais to the extreme or not? For every single purpose, what he did is as if I did. And the Machne Ephraim is the one who held yes here in Hilchos Shluchim Shutvin. He says, "Sheila Mishirotzal Takan Machli Uman Goy Yivar Chalav Tshuva Breish Parakam and Tzias Real Leil Rav Nach Now Yivim Tzilah Chaver Lo Kana Chaveiro." But also in Yosisa Asof Sepol Lasim Rav Lacha Yom Tzias Lo Bayis Alma Do Yivim Tzilah Chaver Kana Chaveiro Umishani Shani Pol Dach Yodah Shabal Bayis Dami Ad Kan Veikol Amedik Vada Maishna Pol Mishlech Bialma Ibishav Yapol Kiabal Bayis Shlich Nami Kamel Shluchim Shlana Kamoso. Why is a pole better than a shliach? After all, Taka, if you're interested, I think in brackets it's like Tzlach who said Efter the pole is not the same as a shliach, but everyone else in the world understands. Pole is better than a shliach. Shliach is also kamoso. Ukebal bayis dummy. Vafilach tzvili v'lo kana chaveiro. Avol perish the milsa hachiyu. The shliach shining from the enam yachol shliach she is go mat mishchad lachir. You can't make a shliach be zofim up mishchad lachir. That's over sonya. Vashen hidden pole, but a pole you can. The came to pole gufo kana ilabal bayis. The Baal Bayis owns his guf, obviously only Lisman. But today, the Baal Bayis owns his guf. Choshev Yaduk Ya Baal Bayis Mamish, that's more than a shliach, that's Mamish mine. The Nimsish ain't in a pole by shliach shavit. And the pole is not like a shliach. An example would be the shliach shavit shalizkos lachavero, hainu hechad duka mechavin lachavero. Even though we pass on a kana chavero, a shliach only works for me if he has in mind to work for me. It's not automatic, it's not intrinsic in him. He chooses to have in mind to do something for me. Avol pol shenisko l'chom alech l'vayis, a pol who I hired to do everything, v'afilu mtziyah, even pig amtziyahs, afilu b'shashik yimtziyah lo ha'yim d'ayik l'ik b'yalatza or yishal b'al v'ayis l'chom ad l'ohad y'bebe hedya. The pol, let's say he finds $100 bill on the floor, I pay him $20 a day, he found $100 bill on the floor, even if he had in mind to keep it for himself, it still goes to me. Unless he quits. If he makes a declaration of quitting, he has the right to do so. That's the Xeris Agassa. But if he does make a declaration of quitting, obviously beforehand, if he doesn't make the declaration of quitting, then what he does is automatically mine. We see a pole is different. It's a kinyan. It's not just a relationship. The Chaymer is a young Chuvah of Hadash L'Rashva's Ali. He found this in the new Chuvah of the Rashva. I couldn't find the exact mucker for this. There must be a version of the footnotes. The Hachi Taima, because he doesn't put the Lashon. And also, we're not sure, Chuvas of the Rashba are not all from the Rashba, so we're not sure exactly where this is from. But the reason is, we should be Yodike Abal Bayis Dami de Schiros Liyome Memkeru. What is this? Schiros Liyome Memkeru. We have mentioned this earlier when we discussed the little lumpness of Schiros. Schiros, after all, I only hire him for the day. Hiring for the day is buying him. The only difference between buying and renting is forever and buying is temporarily. But meanwhile, when I rent a... Sorry, buying is forever and renting. When I rent the car from Hertz and Avis, today it's my car. The only difference is tomorrow it's not. But today it's my car, Mamish. So if I hire a worker for today, then today he's my Eved. And tomorrow he's not. But today he's my Eved. The Kamosha goes, Ritva Shamav Nushav. He quotes the Ritva in number two. The Domi Levit Kanani the Rin Parakashol Omalavdo, and then he says it's like an Evit Kanani. What are we saying? Ashoel Haomer Omer Leav Let's Savi Shalom Parasi Mahu Tibai Lamanda Mishul Shalom Kmei Kamosu Hani Milashliach Al Evit Yad Evit Kiyab Rabu Tamya. They say, what if everyone knows if I work with my animal, that's Bailov Emo, the Shomer is Potter. Right? What if I send a shliach to work with my animal? Not so clear. What if I send my eved to work with the animal? It says, even if a shliach doesn't count as me, maybe the eved counts as me, and then it's bailav imo, and the shomer is potter, because yad eved kev rabo. Masa nistabi yad eved kev rabo dami. And there they have maskana. Most of those ibayas in the 8th parak, there's a lot of ibayas without maskanas. It's a very confusing parak. But here they seem to have maskana. An eved counts as me. So if my eved works with my ox, that's like me working with my ox, the Torah bailav imo. So according to what the Machne Ephraim who just mechanish based on the Ritva, if I send a shliach with my para, but if I send my eved with my para, that counts by lavimo. If I send my worker with my para, that's by lavimo, because a worker is an eved. The only difference is tomorrow, but today a worker is an eved. The difference is tomorrow, and even today, if he quits, he has a special zechus to quit. Based on Xeris Kasav, but until he quits. That's Yad Eved Ki Yad Rabo. So this is the Ritva, and picked up and expanded by the Machne Ephraim, say, Paul is Eved Mamish. The only difference is it's only for today, and he has a special right to quit. And some of the Machne Ephraim in a longer one, which I just hinted at in number 4, but you can look up if you want, points out from the Lashon Kiri Shomer, is it even so special and unique that a poel, if he's an eved, can quit in the middle? Is that really so special? Is it really like a tremendous, tremendous chiddush that an eved can quit in the middle? Has anyone ever read, for example, the Chumash? Raise your hand if you read the Chumash. You familiar? 5 books of Moses, right? Basic text of Judaism. So, what does it say in the Chumash about avadim quitting? So we're talking about Jews here, right? So what does it say in the Chumash? Ein Hakanami. The Chumash says different things than Ein Hakanami. What does it say in the Chumash about Never Nivri quitting? What? That he can quit. What do we call an Ever Nivri quitting? Geula. And what do we call that Kinyan in the Lashon of? Anyone want to tell me what Perek and Shas all the Kinyanim are listed in? What Perek and Shas list all the Kinyanim in the Shnayis? Again, by all, I mean substantially all. First parak of Kiddushin, right? What's that called in the Lush? Remember, we saw by the Mesira and the Meshicha and the Behemoth Gaza, the Behemoth Daka, etc. What, that's what they have in the Chashon. Im Memachraya, Yish Memachraya, Keshtar Chazaka, it's all there. But it has Eved Ivri in there. What is that called? What the Lush and the Kinyan, the language of Chazal in Perek, Rishimas HaKinyonim, also known as the first parak of Kiddushin? Konesatzvon Peh. Giron Kesef, right? That's what's called Giron Kesef, right? Lashon of Chumash, Benigra Meir Kecha, right? And Eved Ivri can quit whatever he wants for Giron Kesef. Says the Machne Ephraim exceedingly radically. I couldn't put this whole thing on the page number 4. But it's a very radical conclusion. I looked up every single Makor he quoted in that piece. He quoted like 10 Makors to support him. None of them actually say the conclusion that he reaches. So I'll admit, for the sake of honesty, there's no mucker in the Rishonim. He quotes 8 Rishonim who say what he said. They all almost say it. No one actually goes this far, but he has a tremendous chiddush, this Machne Ephraim. He says, hold on a second. If you understand that he's really an Eved, it's just a Xeris HaKasav, then he can quit. Then, why? What's the Xeris HaKasav he can quit? We know the Xeris HaKasav he can quit. The Xeris HaKasav he can quit is Giron Kesef. Says the Machne Ephraim then, then if he quits, what does he have to do? He has to pay back his salary. Now, does he really have to pay back his salary? Anyone ever was or hired a worker? Anyone here was ever an employee or an employer? Raise your hand. Okay, when does an employee get paid? After he works, right? Ein schiris mishalom hashel basof. So, what does the Machne Ephraim say? He says it's a virtual Giron Kesef. Why can he quit in the middle of the day? Because after all, an Eved, a Jewish Eved, an Eved Ivri, he's allowed to quit as long as he returns the proportional schar. So here, he's returned. I mean, if you go into Ha Socher Es HaOmden, which we're not going to now, this is the big sugya there, exactly when you quit, exactly how much you have to pay. That's the whole question. To what extent do we use the model of Giron Kesef or not? But he's, or rather, how much? He's always doing your own kesef, because if he didn't get his schar yet, then by quitting, he's automatically returned it, because he just mochel it. When he says, I quit, He's implicitly saying, I quit and I'm mochel the rest of my schar, and therefore he has giron kesef. Says the Machlei Ephraim, a crazy nafka mita. I shudder to say this nafka mita because it's exceedingly radical, and like I said, to the best I could tell, he doesn't actually have an earlier makor, even though he has a lot of people who almost say it. He says, what if I paid the worker in advance and he spent the money? Then Machlei Ephraim says, according to the Ritva, he can't quit. Because, what do you mean? It's a special z'chus to quit. If he wants a special z'chus to quit, he has to refund my money. What do you think? He has a z'chus to quit and steal my money? I mean, obviously, that's the his z'chus to quit and say he'll pay me back next year. No, if I pay my worker in advance, sometimes the desperate workers say, can you pay me in advance? I need to buy X, Y, and Z. Right? Desperate worker. Can you pay me in advance? I need to buy medicine for my kids. I need to buy it right now. Pay me now and I'll work 3 days. So I pay him. And he spent the money on the medicine. Now he's broke again. So the Machlei Ephraim says, according to this Ritva, he cannot quit within those 3 days. Because if he doesn't have the money to pay back, then he has no right to quit. He can only quit if he buys himself back, if he pays the price for himself. He can't quit for free because he needs Giron Kesef to quit. That is that's a chiddusha of the Machlei Ephraim, meaning Tainah to say, I own him, he has the right to quit. Machlei Ephraim just gives one more. I own him, he has the right to quit. He only has the right to quit if he does Giron Kesef. If he's willing to pay, he doesn't have the right to quit for free. But that's actually the conclusion the Machlei Ephraim reaches. He says, according to the Ritva and Rov Rishonim, he thinks that he can't quit unless he's either mochel the rest of his schar or refunds the rest of his schar. That is a radical conclusion.
We're assuming that the Pole has the same reason as an Eved Ivri.
That's what the Machlei Ephraim is assuming. The Pole is an Eved.
It's not symmetric, and he agreed that not everything applies.
For sure not everything applies, although this is a fascinating question, meaning it's a good question to what, okay, basically, all over Shas in the discussions whether every single din of Eved Ivri applies to Pole or not. I threw a few of them on this Makor sheet. There are more that aren't. And it's a fascinating question. Like, for example, Ha'anaka, right? When the Eved Ivri goes free, you have to give him money. So, how about if someone works for you, do you have to give them severance pay? So the Sefer HaChinuch says, now this is a tricky one, Sefer HaChinuch says, if your worker leaves you, right, then it's ro'oi to give him severance pay just like an Eved Ivri. Now, ro'oi, what does that mean? Meaning he's somewhere in between. He's saying, well, he's not an Eved Ivri, but he's close to an Eved Ivri, and therefore, you know, we'll say it's a moral obligation, it's an unenforceable obligation. So this is the whole question, to what extent, and this is the big question nowadays, right, as in Israel, it's not such a big question. In Israel, there are laws about severance pay, right? So I think it's a davar poke, unless you're a Neturei Kartanik, then you have to ask, the Palestinian Authority whether they have laws about severance pay or not. But
it wouldn't matter anyway, because it's mekubal.
But in any case, right? What about in America? Do you have to pay severance pay? So there's a big discussion in America in the Batei Din whether you have to pay severance pay or not. And one of the factors they bring in is the chinuch. The chinuch says, well, a poel is like an Eved Ivri, and therefore you should have a moral obligation to pay severance pay. That's not enforceable. But it could be that you put that together with a certain degree of accepted practice, and it could become enforceable. But again, it's hard to bring raya one way or the other from people who are speaking, in such in-between categories. But let's look at some of the raya we have here then. To what extent is poor like an Eved?
When did Machlei Ephraim live?
The Machlei Ephraim lived? That is an excellent question. Give me half a second.
Was it Ephraim Avdeliot?
No, it was Ephraim Navon.
1677.
Sorry,
I
forgot about the answer.
Is that born or died?
Born
1677.
Okay.
Barlaim. No,
all right, he lived around 1700. Great. Okay, so... but he was, it's very fascinating, like, he was, like, For people in the year 1700, he was probably the closest that we have to modern day yeshivish style of learning. However, this is not the only perspective which the Machne Ephraim admits. If you look at the Nesivas, for example, in number 3, if you remember, the Nesivas last year did not like the way the Machne Ephraim took Yad Evid, Yad Balabai so far. Yad Polk, Yad Balabai so far. He also doesn't like the way the Machne Ephraim, he doesn't put the Machne Ephraim, takes the idea of a Pol so far. Number 3 says in the Nesivas, L'chein Dira, this is in the middle of a total, it's a side point in the discussion there. The Poel, Einshom Kinyan Chalal Gufo, of course you're not going to the Gufo of the Poel. That's ridiculous, give me a break. You're not going to the Gufo of the Poel. Vayin Shidim Gets Verka Umdin, Dirak Evid Ivri Gufo Kone, Yol Poel Ain Gufo Kone, nah, the Kinyan Gufo Ain Evid Ivri, not a Poel. Vakin Shmol Bepoel, also what is the Kinyan of a Poel? Ain Oel Rak Al Eschayiv, Shapol Eschayiv, that's all last of the love of the Kinyan. Yeah, you can make a Kinyan, you can sign a contract, you can make a Kinyan suit or a Poel. That just means that he owes you the work. He promises to do the work. There's such a thing as a hischaivus. I can be obligated to, I can owe you $100. So here, he's mischaiv to do the work. That's what we're talking about in a poel. A poel is selling his work. A poel is not an evid. He's mischaiv to do his work. That's what it means to have a contract of a poel. And obviously, there's some hischaivus involved, right? Meaning, there are halachas. You can't just... right, if I hire a worker, then, you know, I have an obligation to pay him, whether I like it or not under many circumstances, etc. Right, the poel is obligated to show up, at least on a l'chachila level, meaning it's an aveira for the poel not to show up. That's called taromes, right? I have the right to be resentful, halachically. So, it says, what is a poel? A poel is selling his work. He's not selling himself. These are two vastly different conceptions of what a of what a poel is. How would the Nesivas read our Gemara? The Nesivas would read our Gemara very differently. He would say, no. Yad poel ki yad balabayis means, well, perhaps what the Nesivas said about the Tumim or what he said himself. Yad poel ki yad balabayis doesn't mean I own him. Yad Pol Ki Yad Balabayis means I am responsible for his actions. That's what the Besiva said himself in where were the two Besivas? It's here someplace. Okay. Wherever those two Nesivuses are. Or, perhaps, like you put it in the Tumim, he sells the fruits of his labor. Right? But, Yad Pol Ki Yad Balabayis doesn't mean that I own him. The Gemara says, if Yad Pol Ki Yad Balabayis, why can he quit? Perhaps the Gemara had a Havamina that I'm saying I own him. You're telling me you're treating him like an Eved, why can he quit? The answer is no. Not that he's exerus of us quitting, though he's an Eved. If he quits, that's because he's not an Eved. And that's a different reason. The reason he can quit is not because he's an Eved, but has a Pasuk telling him he can quit. The reason he can quit is because he's not an Eved. But even though he's not an Eved, as long as he's working, Yad Polk, Yad Balabayis, his labor is shayich to me. His actions derive from my... derived from my acquisition of the fruits of his labor. But here it's just a matter of purchasing his labor. Schaivas l'malacha. It says schaivas l'malacha, and it's a mechivas l'malacha. It's not. It says schaivas l'malacha. It's not a kinyan avadim. In which case we have, I don't know. I'm sure that anyone here study 19th century political philosophy. I don't know, I'm sure that all the people, when they were all discussing some Marx and Engels, etc., they must have debated this back and forth, all the different models. I don't know, I'm not familiar with the secular literature on it, only with our own Masorah. But this is a very, very, very fundamental hakira here in terms of what is Schivas Polim. On the one hand, you have the Ritva and the Machne Ephraim. Now again, in number 4, the Machne Ephraim knows it's a Machlokes Rishonim. He just thinks the weight and the majority in the mainstream opinion is on the side of this Ritva. He says, no, It's a kinyan haguf, kinyan gomer liyomo, like an eved.
Not more like
another kinani then? Right. In some way, well, the Gemara does say that this Zion, I believe, in Kedushin, every gufo kanui. So in some ways, perhaps, probably you wouldn't say fundamentally not more than an Eved Ivri. But an Eved is still an Eved Ivri. Ivri is also gufo kanui. That's one approach. However, the Nesivos has a different approach. He says there's no kinyan haguf. It's just Hishaivos Limalacho. When I sign a contract to work for you for a day, I'm not selling you myself for a day. I am just obligating myself to give you work for a day. That is a very, very different understanding of Paul. The question is, how do you understand the Maskana of our Gemara? So the Ritva says, Maskana of the Gemara is that there is a Kinyan Haguf, but Gzeres HaKosov, that I can undo it. Right? Gzeres HaKosov, that I can quit. According to the Sivas, the Maskana of our Gemara is that he's not an Eved, so there's no Kinyan Haguf, just Yad Eved, Ki Yad Rabo, Mitzad, Chiyuv, Milachto, which again goes back to our discussion, Chakira, last time. If you say there's no Kinyan Haguf, then clearly you're going to say Yad Eved, Ki Yad Rabo is just Mitzad, the Milacha. If you say there is a Kinyan Haguf, then after you could take it as far as the Matne Ephraim. The Matne, yeah, what? Sorry.
So
it even confuses me. The Machli Ephraim has managed to infiltrate my mind even when I'm writing over the Nesivos.
According to Nesivos, the Pasuk is telling us he's not a Kinyan Haguf.
Exactly. Exactly. According to Nesivos, the Pasuk is telling you there's no Kinyan Haguf. According to the Ritva, the Machli Ephraim is telling you there is a Kinyan Haguf, but nonetheless, since there's a religious, philosophical factor at play here also, you have the right to cancel it unlike other Kinyanim. If I sell you my car, then I can't decide, even if I rent you my car halfway through, to cancel the transaction. By selling myself, I can. He even takes it so far, just give me a second, like Biro'un Kesef, even takes it so far as to say, Nafgamina ha'im yachol lachzor bo im kibel scharo, V'ein lo, v'ein lo mamon, right? You can't v'ein lo lahas here, right? Ein biyado mamon lahas here scharo, obviously proportional scharo. So, obviously, yes, goes without saying, yes, he can. I gave you the money in advance and you put in the middle. So the answer is, I'll owe you the money back. You shouldn't have paid me in advance. According to this, yeah, F-shar, it's F-shar, ki giraon kesef ligamre ve eino chozerbo Ella and Cain, Yachser lo Haskar. And this is the radical shita of the Machne Ephraim. I'd say Efsher, because you could say it's a Gzeres HaKosov we can quit, even if he doesn't pay it back now. And he's better than an Eved Ivri. But he says, no, he's exactly like an Eved Ivri. The, yes, Ellie.
Even the Nesivos and like that whole side of the Kira, you have to agree that Eved, that Pasuk of Abadayim is also not applicable to the Hanubri until a certain point. Meaning, you can start with the Maimon Hazal, like, you know, when we pierce his ears because Eben Shoshama, right? Abadayim, right? So, meaning, if you take that Maimon Hazal, so then it's only when he gets his ear pierced that he's
okay. No, that's only when he violates the Isser. Here we're talking about the Zachuyos. Now, look, the Pasuk shot in the Pasuk supports the Machli Ephraim. The Pasuk's talking about Neved Ivri and saying, even though there's a kinyan of guf, still there are limits to his avos. Right. But okay, but I'll come back to what you were saying. In a chanami, meaning it's not in a chanami, meaning the iser that comes out of that pasuk might be sort of a drush of that pasuk, and a more far out drush of that pasuk might not apply every time the zechuyos of that pasuk, which is a pasuk shot of pasuk, apply. But that's the discussion of Tosfos here.
But I think the Rambam says that pasuk, and like you can't sell an Eved Ivri like you sell an Eved Kanani, meaning clearly that it's excluding Eved Ivri from the entire parsha of Avadai.
No, correct. It's in the parsha of Eved Ivri, but saying even Eved Ivri, there's a limit to how much you can be mavid him. Which fits the Machle Frayim and Ritva. It's talking about an Eved. It's just saying even an Eved has rights because he's not as much of an Eved as you might think. The Nesivs would have to say there are two different drushes in this pasuk. One, that even an Eved Ivri has rights, and two, that a Pohel is not even an Eved Ivri.
The fact that the Nesivs says that he's buying his malacha, right? He's paying him for the malacha and only that. It seems a little difficult because. Well, let's say a Metzia, it's Amnon during the time working for him, but that's not part of his malacha.
No, but so that's why the Gemara says only if you, in these days when you are late, you hired him to pick up Metzios, or you hired him to do everything, and it was understood that everything includes picking up Metzios.
So I thought maybe the idea is that he's not hiring for his malacha, he's hiring for his time. And therefore, even though he's supposed to do certain levels during that time, anything else he does is also included in his...
That's certainly also possible. I'll point out a difference in formulation here. Let me ask you a simple question. All Rishonim, substantially all Rishonim, seem to agree, this is certainly Avi Paskin, there's no Ona'a by Sefiras Poalim. There's no Ona'a by Sefiras Poalim. Right? Why? Because there seem to be many cases that the Gemara brings up with... seem to have people paying too much, too little, etc. And there's no Ona. Okay, there's no Ona by Sefiras Poalim. Meaning, if I make a contract with a Poal, I pay him too much, I pay him too little, then that's life. Okay, whether it's much of a Hachil or not, we're not getting into it. That's not our Inyan, but there's no redress. Tell me, pretend you're the Machne Ephraim or the Nesivos. Tell me why you think, without looking at the Makorah sheet, there'd be no Ona by Sefiras Poalim. Who wants to pretend they're one of these? Pretending the Machne Ephraim, what might you say? Why is there no Ona by Sefiras Poalim?
Like karka.
Say better.
Property, you own it.
Say better. It's not like karka. He's like karka. I mean, yes, just say a little better. He's like. Eilu Dvarim She'ein Behem Ona. Someone finished the Mishnah for me. Come on, it's the same three things in every Mishnah of Ein Behem anything. Karka, Avadim, and Shtaros. So what would you say? Why is there no Ona by Sefiras Poalim if you're the Machne Ephraim? Avadim! There's no Ona by Avadim. What's the difference between permanent Avadim and temporary? No Ona by Avadim. What if you are the Nesivas? Tell me why there's no Ona by Sefiras Poalim. What might you say? I don't think you'd say it's Avadim. What might you say?
Hard to assess.
Could be, but say
no,
better.
He assesses. Meaning the Poel.
So, let us look at the Rashba, number 7. Had the buyer of zeris chirus yesh lo ona b'chirus metalplan ka'amar. There's an ibaya. We saw this more once. Whether chirus metalplan has ona, we possibly yes. I understand yesh lo ona. We should chirus be yomayim mechiruhu. Because every chirus is a mini mechira, temporary mechira. V'ilu b'kak me'etam ha'habel lemimer. The less they know, have mechira leko ona. Right. Hilchak chirus avon leko ona. He says very pashut. Rent things like buying. If you rent metalplan, there is ona. If you rent karka or avadim, there's no ona. Uv'chirus yisrael ki'on polem. What about renting out a Jew like a poel, for example? Says the Rashba, Yesh Omer, which is quoted by a few other Rishonim, She'ein lem ona'a. Why? To lav memker hein. Chem kablanis. Likewise for a contract worker, for an independent contractor. Says, why is there no ona'a by Sefiras Poalim? Because you're not buying anything. You didn't buy anything. You have to buy something for ona'a. Like there has to be a thing you buy. Here, you're not buying a thing. You're buying the fact that it'll work for you. You're not, that's not buying, right? That's a buying you have to have, I'm adding it, a concrete object that you buy. You didn't buy anything. You don't own anything. If you didn't buy anything, there's no ona. That is great for the Nesivos. The Nesivos says, I didn't buy him at all. I bought the fact that he has to work for me. That's a very abstract idea. It's not a real mechira. If it's not a real mechira, if I rent your car for a week, I bought the car. I just have to give it back. If you work for me, I bought the idea that you work for me. It's too abstract. It's not a real mechira at all. On the other hand, look at the Rambam, number 8. Hasokas Paul Lasos Imo Bain Bakar Bin Metalplin. He says, it's not a matter of what you hire him to work on. It doesn't matter if he works on a karka metaltalon. It's a matter of him. Eimo honoya. That's how he says honoya. Vimeshu kukonos olizman, because like you're buying the worker for his man. Vavadim eimo honoya. You're buying him for his man, and he's an eved. There's no honoya. Meaning, everyone seems to agree. Lama ein honoya beskiris polim. Everyone agrees that there's no honoya beskiris polim. But they have radically different ways of looking at it. From you've really bought him to you haven't bought anything. And I think that's exactly this chakira. I mean, clearly you haven't bought a chair or a computer. You've either done something much more than that or much less concrete than that. So says the Rambam, because it's a kinyan lizman be'eved. It's a kinyan eved lizman. Right? Let's say better. It's a kinyan eved lizman. A kinyan eved, there's no ona, because el verm se'in lo ona. Ha, the karkos va'avodim ha'shnoros va'ekdeshos. However, the Rashba says that, what's his lashon? Lav memkar. Eino mechira. It's not a mechira at all. Now, obviously, it's a monetary transaction, but it's not a mechira because you haven't acquired an object. You haven't acquired an object forever. You haven't even acquired an object for a day. You've acquired an abstract obligation. An abstract obligation is not a mechira. For mechira, you have to buy an object. So these radically different formulations, I think, correspond to radically different ideas of understanding the employer-employee relationship. I think this comes across in a few examples, such as the question of, to what extent do we take all the halachas of Eved Ivri that was brought up here already and apply them to a kovel or not? Now, each of these could be its own discussion, right? Meaning, it could be that regardless of what a kovel is, you just want to know whether this din logically should apply to all people or it should only apply in a limited circumstance. So, but it could very well be that every time you have a machlokes rishonim, do we apply a certain law of Eved Ivri to kovel or not? They're arguing whether a kovel is basically an Eved Ivri or not. I do brought two examples here. Number five, the Shut Harash. Okay, this is actually a little bit of a different one. I don't know what the law would be nowadays. Let's say you owe money and you don't have anything to pay. What do they do to you? So in Israel, they put you in debtor's prison still. I know it sounds very barbaric. It actually works beautifully. Maybe it's still barbaric, but it works. Once you put someone in, no one spends two nights in debtor's prison. I know that this sounds, they put in the Jewish week that why you're a yeshiva are advocating debtor's prison. But no one ever spends two nights there. Everyone has money if they really need money.
Everyone's brother-in-law lends the money.
So anyway, in Israel, what?
In England, they used to move in.
Yeah. Okay. So, no, it all depends, you know. Obviously, they only put you in debtor's prison if it's reasonable, right? If some poor guy, whatever, owes $10 million, they don't put him in prison. They declare bankruptcy. But if a guy doesn't pay his cell phone bill, then you know what? You could pay your cell phone bill if you wanted to. Not everyone owns a house, and I'm pretty sure that for some strange reason in modern day Israeli law, it's easier to put someone in debtor's prison than to take away their house. I'm fairly certain of that. I'm not sure why, but you know, there's this phrase like that certain regulations, you can call them, right, Byzantine, right? In Israel, they actually are. Right from the Ottoman Empire. So, okay, enough of a tangent in secular law.
Your house and your cell phone.
Anyway, Kitzer, what if someone doesn't want to pay their debts? So let's say a guy says, right, again, you never know if they're hot. Most of the tshuvas, the Rishonim, are about people who hide their assets, right? As you can imagine, it's very complex because whatever rules you make to prevent people hiding their assets, they'll just figure out a new way to hide their assets. And in the end, we possibly let the Dayanim have to use their judgment. But let's say a guy, mom, she can't find any assets. Okay, what might be a radical idea for how he would pay his debts if he has no assets? He might. Forget about Eved Ivri. Maybe he'll just go to work. Right? Maybe he should go to work. Maybe he should get a job. Not only that, the big machlokas rishonim, you should know. Nowadays, I know this comes across in some of the political things, etc., between the different communities nowadays. Everyone says, how come some people don't work? Doesn't say the ksuba on the eflach, the okir ve'ezon, yisichi lichi, etc., etc. You have to work. A husband has to work. Not so pashut. It's machlokes we really own or bein atam. It's machlokes we shown whether anyone has to work or not. Right? So everyone has what to be sovichan. So, but do you have to work to pay your debts? And again, the Rosh suggests in the end that a ksuba might be more chumer than other debts because you write mefurish on an eflach. But do you have to work to pay your debts or not? So number five, Masha Toin Shimon, she asked him a look to be able to force Cholo. Shimon tainis on Reuven, let Reuven get a job and pay his debts. Ain bedin kofos olakach. We can't, if he wants to get a job, great. But we can't force him to take a job. So Amar Torah Ella Behaishir to Noshbo Yotilak Sa'avot, Bafilish Leif Bez and Dummer Shmuel Perkamakabal, Mintef Nukhe in Mashkoni Lo. The Torah only said he has to pay with his property. Yim Shleich Bezdin can take property from him, but not invade his house. For sure, we can't even invade his house. For sure, we can't take over his guf and force him to work. The famous Rabbeinu Tam. Just like Darshan Nimkar Bignevaso. Right, you can be sold as an evidence for Gnei, but not for being a Zomim and not for the Kefel, only for the Karen. You can only be sold as an Eved Ivri for Gneva, not to pay debts or support your wife. And he adds, and if you rent yourself out as a worker, if you get a job, that's called selling yourself. That every rental is a temporary sale. Even the Gemara, the Chumash calls an Eved Ivri Mishnah Shar Sachir. Which may or may not be calling him a sacher. Rabbeinu Tam holds down in that pasuk that he's calling him a sacher, right? So what does he say? He says, "Hold on a second. A sacher is an evet. There's exeris akasim. You only get sold as an evet for stealing, not for owing money. Therefore, we can't force you to work because that would be making you into an evet. It would be against exeris akasim." Umasha hayomer Rabbeinu Yahu shchayvad mahaskas on farnes ishto. Rabbeinu Tam nechlekalav Rabbeinu Yahu said you have to get a job and support your wife. Rabbeinu Tam argued on him, behavior, rayos, mirkal fima, etc. Ba'ainli, le. Ha rech. This is a very fascinating machlokas. Rabbeinu Tam, Rabbeinu Eliyahu. Do you have to, can we force you to get a job to pay your debts or not? Well, we're not sure what they're arguing about. Maybe they're just arguing about the extent to which Bezdin has power over you. But Afshar, possibly, right? Maybe machlokas. Rabbeinu Tam, Rabbeinu Eliyahu, Ha'im Kofin Atzmo La'avod Kidei L'Shalem Chovo. So, Rabbeinu Tam would say, no, because Mechira Ke'eved is only for Gneva. If you hold that of becoming a worker is becoming an Eved, then we have a serious custom that only thieves are sold for an Eved. And not regular people. What does Rabbi Eliyahu say? Ben Eliyahu would say, yes, he would say, a Poel is not an Eved. Poel is not an Eved. A Poel is selling an asset that he has, just an abstract asset. Of course you have to sell your assets for... Of course you have to sell your assets to pay your debts. You're not selling yourself, you're selling your assets. It's just an abstract asset. Of course you have to sell your assets to pay your debt. Oh, the Torah says that Sheikh Bez is not allowed to invade your house. Yeah, he's not allowed to invade your house, but he is allowed to stand at the door of your house and threaten you with being thrown in jail if you don't bring him your assets. Likewise here, fine, so the Sheikh Bez won't take you in collars and a chain and put you on a chain gang. But he will threaten you with malchus if you don't go and get a job. That's fine. That's not against the protection of the pasuk. The pasuk didn't say Bezin can't force you to do whatever they want. They just said they have to force you nicely with procedure and with a hearing, the seder. So now, I don't know if this is what they're arguing about. This is all Bederek Efshar. But it certainly seems at first glance, Rabbeinu Tam says Pol equals Eved. Rabbeinu Leo says Pol is not equal to Eved. Lechora, this could be the sort of the machlokas. And this could be a similar issue in the Tosus and Kedushin quotes. This is a fascinating question. What if, this is complicated actually, very complicated and different. What if I, all right, this is a tricky one. But there's a din of an Eved Ivri. If I buy an Eved Ivri for 6 years and he's sick for three of them and he works three of them, he's Yotze. So, says Tosos, Yeshu Rosum Lomash Osun Skim Lamdi Kinokosum Chalu Chatzis Man Kmoke and Lo Yumash Lingus Manam Kmo Eved Ivri Dahachim Yilu Kolaskiris Kim Chayanusim. Some people say that likewise a worker, if he works half the time and gets sick half the time, gets all his schar. Kasha Tosos is very a very complicated rise against it from Diukim of Diukim. The M game concludes, Malamde Tinokos Nami, Imcholo lo yichu el ma'asher vichu. No, even a teacher who gets sick at the time only gets for the days they worked. The Ainlin Bosom Kal Evan Ivri, why? Because a pole is not like an Evan Ivri. The Evan Ivri, Gufo Kani Ladono, Helka, Chola, Shalshan, Chai, Bahashlan, Din, Yochalas, and Lochi, Yosmin Cholto. And Evan Ivri, you know why if he's sick he still gets paid? Because you're not paying him for his work. You bought him. If you buy something and it doesn't work, then tough luck on you. What if I buy an ox and it gets sick? What can I do? I bought it, and I took my chance and it gets sick. If I buy a person and he gets sick, so I bought him, and he got sick. That's because I have a kinyan on guf. Right? What's the kinyan on guf? I own him, he should do whatever he can. And he did what he could. Av a melamed in gufa kanoi, a melamed, I don't have a kinyan on guf in my melamed, in my koel. Ela socher atzul lemanaz man. He just hired himself to look for the work. And if he can't, he only gets paid for his work. Meaning, what are the 2 days in Tosos? One day is, it's like an Evan Ivri. I bought him, I'm stuck with whatever he does. At least, if he's sick over the time, then maybe it invalidates the whole thing. But if he's sick me over the time, then fundamentally it was a valid medgach. I bought what I thought I was buying, Alpi Rove. Therefore, I'm stuck. The other day, Tosos says, no, I'm buying his work. Whatever days he works, he gets paid. Whatever days he didn't work, he didn't get paid. It could be this is the same machlokis. What about chala chetzi hazman? So the Yesh Omrim says, notel kol scharo kimoev and ivri. Why? It makes sense. If I bought him for a year, then whether he was sick or healthy, I got him for a year, right? Doesn't matter if he works or not, I got him for a year. But the maskana of Tosos in Kiddushin is Ein gufo kanoi ella kana milachto, and therefore notel rak schar milacha she'asa. Exactly. If all I am is paying for his work, I should pay him for his work, not for his non-work. But if I bought him and he got sick, then estachas aneu. And what can I do? If you buy something and it doesn't work, tough luck on you. If it doesn't work most of the time, maybe you can ask for a refund. But if it doesn't work a little of the time, then that's life.
What is Malamed already?
Yeah. In those days, the only reason you use the example is in those days, the only long-term workers were Malamed. Everyone else was shorter-term workers. Malamed you signed multi-year contracts with. That was just the minhag in those days.
Is it possible that his work is more abstract?
So this is an interesting discussion. There's some discussion in the Achronim that maybe a Malamed is different because maybe he's not really a poet at all. Because maybe you're not allowed to get paid for teaching Torah, and it's only Schar Batalah. So it's actually a big discussion. Ad HaYom HaZeh, you should know, all of the cases, most of the employee-employer relationship cases that make it to Beis Din are Malamdim nowadays. Why? Because I guess in a secular business, people don't really think about going to Beis Din. Even if a frum Jew hires another frum Jew as an accountant, Lamaisa, they keep their thing secular. Whether, for whatever reason. But Malamdim, they always go to Beis Din, and one of the big tainus they always deal with in the issue of Malamdim is, maybe Malamdim is not a poel at all, because what do you mean? Teaching Torah is not a profession. Teaching Torah is a vocation. And he's only getting paid Schar Batalah. Schar Batalah is not a poel. Schar Batalah, that would be very makel on the employer. So he's not really employing anyone. He's just giving him Schar Batalah. So then, of course, he has no ancillary obligations. But that is Horeg Migdulot Hashivar. Now, another example where this might come up is, again, this is a little trickier, because you don't really have a full chiyuv. I don't remember the lashon of chinuch, but the whole question of hanukkah, right? Do you say a pole gets hanukkah at least on some lechachilu level? Might also tie into this. The one thing which I'll end with, even though if you look inside of the Mordechai, it seems to be this is not what they're arguing about. What does Tosfos say here? Back to Eli. Conclusion might you come to if you're the Machne Ephraim? If a pole is really an Eved, then what will Eli say? Eli will say there's a bit of a problem here. What problem is there? Forget about Dini Mominus. What's Eli going to say? If a pole is really an Eved, then is it good to be a worker? No, because there's an Isser to be an Eved, right? Nothing to do with the way it's used. On our Gemara, it's used in terms of Zechuyos and Choshen Mishpat. Bein Adam L'Chaveru. right? Avadehem. Therefore, people have certain rights, copy other people. But the Gemara also says there's a bit of a lamakom in this. It's not counted as mamish one of the 613, but there's a bit of a lamakom. A person is not allowed to be an eved. It is considered an almost an avera to be an eved. So the post can point out that the Torah talks about eved ivri, right? If you sell yourself as an eved ivri, right? So they say no. Obviously, we don't mean it's an iser. It's like chilul Shabbos to be an eved ivri, to become an eved. What it means is that it's against the Ratzon HaTorah unless you have no choice if you're starving to death. Therefore, if someone's starving to death, so they can mamish sell themselves an eved ivri. So ain't no maladaber. But let's talk about normal people, right? Who are not starving, right? Let's say a guy's not starving. He just has a good job offer, right? So now, what if he has a really good job offer? He wants to sign on for a job offer. Now, many job offers nowadays are employee at will, right? Or 30 days notice. So lechor, if I sign on for a job offer with 30 days notice, that's not a violation of being kona adin latzo, right? Remind us of the medrash you quoted earlier, Ellie? Why does he get his heir pairs? Because if he stole the heir that heard lo signo but har Sinai, gets a little patch, because it heard lo signo but it stole anyway. What if he was mocher atzmo? What does the medrash say? The heir that heard kevadim lo that you're not supposed to be an eved the boss of a dom, and he went and kana adam la'atzmo, deserves a patch, more than a patch, deserves a ritzia. And so, hold on. Obviously, what do we see from there? It's not one of the 365 lavim. But we see from there that there's an iser, again, in normal circumstances, to sell yourself for an eved ivri. So again, if I take a contract that says 30 days notice, lechor, that's not the iser of adam la'atzmo. What do you mean 30 days notice? And the 30 days notice is just so that, you know, we can put our affairs in order. Right? So that's clearly, that's not hashgafically or halachically problematic. But what if I sign a contract that says, right? Or sometimes rabbis have a lifetime contract. The lifetime contract means they can't be fired, they can still quit. Right? So lechora, let's say I sign a contract that says, I can quit on 30 days notice, but you can't fire me. So lechora, that's fine. You know, the company has an obligation, but I can quit whenever I want. That's not. But what if I sign a contract saying, no, I will work, right? You know, I will work for 5 years at this job. You know, let's say I'm a rabbi. I sign a contract. I don't think the contracts usually say this. I promise to work for 5 years, right? And you promise to employ me for 5 years. Again, usually only has a promise from the employer. But what if I sign such a contract? Have I done an avera? Says Tosfos on our daf. To become makom mutter adam lahatskratzmo. It's still mutter to take a job. Did daf give an imishin yochel lachsor ben yotzukodim zmano el bishtar shechur over mishum avadayhein. It's a little funny. It's not true that eved ivri is only yotzei b'shtar shechur. It can also be yotzei b'giron kesef. But yes, nonetheless, meaning you need a special ma'aseh kinyan. Only an eved ivri who needs a special ma'aseh kinyan to be chozer. And what's his lashon? That's a violation. But to sell yourself as a worker, that's not a violation. Because then you're not really an eved. That's not a violation. Then you're not really an eved. That works very well for the Emyesh Iser Lehasker Atzmo. Tosu says, no, because you're not like an Eved. No Iser to take a job and sign a contract for a job. You're not like an Eved. Why? Because of our Gemara, you can leave whenever you want. It's not like an Eved. An Eved needs a Kenyan to leave. Here you can leave wherever you want, whenever you want. So that's not a problem. However, if you really took the Machli Ephraim to its logical conclusion, you might say, maybe, you might still say there's no Isser. Because practically it's easier to leave. But maybe, there is an Isser. Sure. Maybe there is an Isser. After all, you're selling yourself as an eved. Maybe there is an iser. Oh, but it can't be. We know there are jobs there in the Torah. The Sefiras Polim in the Torah. So look at the Gra here. What does the Gra say? Nichta b'tzido v'agos Mordechai oser b'yoser mishalosh. If you look at Agos Mordechai from the Chuvah of Rabbi Rudenberg, he says, now, it can't be that there's an iser to take a job. That's ridiculous. But maybe there is an iser in some circumstances. maybe there is an Isser if it's a long-term contract. What is a long-term contract? Over 3 years. Machlokas Shach and Sma, what about 3 years? The borderline, but Pashup Shach is the borderline is okay, over 3 years is Usser. Maybe there is an Isser if it's a long-term contract. Halacha L'maaseh, there are Ma'an Shulchan Aruch passing like Midrash Mordechai. It is Usser to sign a contract promising to work for more than 3 years, although he restricts it to, you know, only if your mom is like working 24/7. Meaning if you sign a contract saying I'll work 9 to 5, then that's okay. But if it's more than 3 years contract, meaning mom is working 3 years contract, like I move into your house, you know, like nannies or something, right? I move into your house and I eat your food and I sleep in the spare, you know, in the maid's room or whatever it may be, or the dormitory, you know, and I sign a contract for more than 3 years, that is usser. Now, if you look at the Gorsh Mordechai himself, he interestingly, he doesn't even go as far as the Machne Ephraim. He says, even if you're not Mamish Eved like the Machne Ephraim, still you're in between, and even that's a problem. But what does he say? Where does he get 3 years from? The Pasuk says, Ali Rabbe Necha B'Shalecho So Chavshi Me'imach Ki Mishnes Harsacher Avad Chashe Shanim. He worked for you 6 years, double a sacher. What does Rashi and Chumash say double a sacher means? Anyone ever read Rashi on Chumash? It's a good thing to do. The Shulchan Aruch says that the Mahadrin learn Rashi every week. So he says it means double because a worker works during the day and everybody always works at night to give you flood dose from a shift of times. But the Ibn Ezra there says, and the Hagos Mordechai, no. A sacher works 3 years, and Neved Ivri is a real Eved because he's more than 3 years, he's doubly 6 years. Which shows up to 3 years, that's okay. What makes Neved Ivri really Neved is that he's more than the usual time, he's more than 3 years. Says that Hagos Mordechai, more than 3 years, although I admit, he actually says, not that you are an Eved, you're just in between. But it could very well be that this Machlokas be Karon is totally on how you look at a Poel. If a Poel is if a poel is really just selling his malacha, then it makes sense to say, what do you mean? He's not like an eved at all. He doesn't need a kinyan to go free. You know, the sort of implicit written behind between the lines of Tosfos. He's not kufur konan. Why should that be a problem? Although again, the Maharam himself says the is not kufur konan. He could still be too close for comfort. But if you really say like Machane Friday, it would make sense to say, no, it's an Isser to make yourself an Eben. Oh, you're allowed to take a job? That's because it's such short term that Hashem didn't mean to Asr that. He only meant to Asr something which is long term Kenyan Aguf, not short term Kenyan Aguf, in which case you might end up like the Hagos Mordechai. Okay, so this is, there's a lot more to say about this, especially when you get into the very, very intricate details of Asofer's Omnen. But that's enough for now. Now, I want to just briefly go on to the next sugya. The Mishnah says, the Mishnah is teaching us something exceedingly trivial at first glance. If you find a mitzvah mitzvah and you fall onto it, and someone else comes and grabs it from under you and picks it up, the second guy's kona, not the first, even though somebody say it's not fair, the first guy got it first. No, no such thing as got it first. There's kinyanim. Being on top of something is not a kinyanim. Is not a Kenyan. Lifting it up is a Kenyan. So the first guy lost, second guy won. That's life. Amri Shlokish Shem Abakon Bardel. Amri Shlokish says, Adin, Arba Amos Adam Konus Lo B'chol Makom. Right, this is a classic structure of the sugya, right? They bring a din from Stam from the belt because they're going to have a kash on it for our Mishnah. Right? So, Amri Shlokish says, there's a special Kenyan. Your Dalet Amos are Kona for you everywhere. Whatever's in your Dalet Amos, you're Kona. My taima, takina rabbanan loasilin suye. What's the reason? It's a takana rabbanan to avoid fighting, meaning people will fight over things in the street. You can imagine a $100 bill in the street, two people both say, I grabbed it first. That's where our first Mishnah comes from. Right? Zeroman even sasiya, zeroman even sasiya. So rabbanan made a takana that, you know what? When you actually have to physically grab something, that leads to fighting, because you're already being physical. Whoever it's in their dalat almost wins. That way it's a lot easier, right? You don't have to get physical. We're both putting our hands at the same time. It's very easy to punch each other. Or it's right next to me, but I don't notice, and you swoop in. I'm very resentful. I'm very angry. So this way it's easier. Whoever's Dalet Amos is in wins. Amar Abayi, Moser of Chiva Yosef Peya, Amar Rav Moser of Yaakov Eden Zikin. There's a kasha from Peya and a kasha from Sefer Zikin, or the middle of Sefer Zikin, what we call Bab Metzia. Amar Abayi, Moser of Chiva Yosef Peya, Natalix is Peya of Zarek Alashar, Ein Lo Baklum. If Ani picked some Peya, right? Peya usually leave him chumar, right? So he picked some Peya and he threw it on the rest of the Peya. This is like Nefila, right? He thinks, because he's not an expert in Allah, he's an Amaretz, so he thinks that by putting something on top of something, you're Konit. Ein Lo Baklum, he gets nothing. Nafalo La Pierce Talisol. If he put his body, he fell on top of the Peya or put his talus on the Peya, Mavirno Zoymana, we remove it. Right? Either way, the point is that covering something is not a kin, same as our Mishnah. And the same that applies to Peya applies to Shecha and Leket as well. What do you mean? If Arba Amos are Kona, then he should be Kona because it's in his Arba Amos. Agav, by the way, I just wanted to point out that almost all Rishonim make a diuk from the Mishnah Peya. What's the diuk? Nothal mixes being Zarkal Shar Emo Baklo. Nothal of Piris Taliso Alehama Virno Seimena. Why do they use the Lashon of Emo Baklo in the Risha? And my view no saymen in the seifa. So almost all Rishonim say this is Mefurish Rabbi Meir in the Tosefta, and this is the Psak of the Halacha, that there's a chiddush ein lo baklum. The seifa, if he puts his body or his talus on it, we take him off. He takes his body home. He takes his talus home, and he doesn't get the payoff. The reisha ein lo baklum means even what he threw. He picked, you know, he picked one bushel of payah, then he threw it on another 12 bushels of payah. Even the one bushel that he picked, and he was kona v'hagba'ah, ein lo baklum, not only doesn't he get what he wants to acquire, he loses what he had originally. Why? If I take my property and I throw it someplace, why do I lose it? The answer is, as a knas, because Chazal made certain rules that people shouldn't fight over pay, as you can imagine. People used to fight, even nowadays on Black Friday, people stampede each other to death. So in those days, it was free, and they were aniyim. So for sure they would stampede each other to death. So therefore, Chazal made various rules to make sure that they don't fight, and they back them up with knossos. So as a knas, everyone, except for the Rosh Mishan Zepeya, everyone makes this deal from the Mishnah. Okay, so, but in any case, what I'm talking about, Amos, we have two answers. First answer is, Hachamayaskina Dulomar Akni. Ah, over here, he could have been Kona if this Ani was very foolish. If he had, you know, paid attention to Cheder as a kid, then he would have just gone there and said, my Arba Amos are Kona, and he would have been fine. Since he didn't say it's not Kona, if it's a Kona Rabbanu, I don't say you have to say Kinyanim. You don't have to say your Kinyanim, you just have to do them. No, the problem is, Kevin the real problem was, since he jumped on it, he showed that he doesn't want to be Kona with Arba Amos, then why would he jump on it? He showed that he's trying to do a Kinyan Nefila Alav, and not a Kinyan Arba Amos, since there is no Kinyan Nefila Alav, therefore he ends up with nothing. Rav Pupik, yes?
When you're saying that, you're saying that specifically he has inverse thought to not use...
Okay, we are... not that specifically he has inverse das. I'm not claiming that
he is declaring
I am rejecting the authority of the rabbis to give a Kenyan Dalit Amos based on my intricate knowledge of halacha. What I'm claiming is that he thinks that he's not Kona until unless he falls on it. Rav Papa Amar, Kikipinlo Rabban Arba Amos be Alma. Or one girsa of the Rift, the Rav points out, Besadda Diyama, it's not only Rift, it's also the Ravim's girsa, and most of Shonim's girsa, Besadda Valabai, it's still Tukimili Rabbanim. So the other option is, again, Rashi's girsa Ba'alma, Rift's girsa Besadda Diyama, we'll come back to that, Mirz Hashem, that Rav Papa says, no, Dalit Amos only works in public property, in general, not in someone else's property. You don't have Dalit Amos in someone else's field. And here, if he's in the Balabais' field, that's why there's no Arba Amos in Peah. Didn't Hashem give him the field? I don't understand. Let's say I leave my Peah, but I said, the Peah is Hefker for Aniyim, but no one's allowed to walk in my field. I'm not allowed to do that. When the Torah says I have to leave Peah for the Aniyim, that means they get a right of way to collect the Peah. So isn't it his field? The answer is no. Isn't it everyone's field? Right? All the income. No, when the Torah gave the Ani the right, that's just to go and collect payah. It doesn't change whose field it is. The Malbais' field. The Aniyim could just come in and take their payah. Okay. Now, in a very parallel fashion, we have Amarav, most of you are reading Ezekiel. Rasa Matsiam, and Afalo Leho, Bachari, Zakabav, Yamar Abraham, Shalom, Konos, Lomachom, Makam, Nikmali Abraham's D day. On the Matsia, the guy who fell on the Matsia, shouldn't he be Kona? And Akhami's not Kona Benefila, shouldn't he be Kona Arbaamos? Hach, my skin and Lomar Akni. No, because he didn't say he wanted to be Kona with Arbaamos. Avi, Tigger, Abunaki, Amar, Lohammer, my Havi. The answer is, same two answers. One, Kaven, and Nafal Ale, Gully, Dite, Dimfila, Nichli, Delicte, Barbaamos, Lingli, Delicte. First answer is, Enochrami, if he had said nothing, he would have been Kona Barba Amos. But since he jumped on it, he showed that he wanted to be Kona with jumping, and he didn't want, not as an action, but at least he decided, maybe because he didn't know the halacha, he didn't want to be Kona with Arba Amos. Rav Sheshes Amar Kitu, Kinnar Rabbanim, Simtel, Lachi Rabbin. No, he says that the Kona doesn't apply here. Oh, Matzis are in the street. No, there are Rabbanim, Lemi, the Kona, and a Simtel, where people aren't pushing and jostling you, where there's a lot of space. In Rishus Aram, where everyone's pushing everyone around, there the Rabbanan didn't make their takana. Didn't it say Arba Amos Kona B'chol Makom? How can you say it's only Simta? That's one Makom. Kol Makom has to be at least two. The answer is no problem. Lasuye Kol Makom Lasuye Tzidei Rishus Aram means not only Simta, even Tzidei Rishus Aram. What does Tzidei Rishus Aram mean? Tzidei Rishus Aram means the area on the side of Rishus Aram where when it's crowded, people also walk there. But when it's not excessively crowded, they don't. That's Tzidei Rishus HaRabim. I don't know if we really have Tzidei Rishus HaRabim so much nowadays, but I guess you can, you know. I don't know. Do we have Tzidei Rishus HaRabim?
Grass.
What?
Grass.
Sometimes you have like the grass next to Rishus HaRabim where people don't usually walk, but if there's a lot of people, then people start walking on it. That's Tzidei Rishus HaRabim. Okay, good. Now, we'll have to come back to analyze these lines. Let's just start with the beginning. Galad Amos Shel Adam Konos Lo Bichol Makom. Now, what does the Gemara compare? Basically, what Kenyan is Dala Amos similar to? Kenyan Chatzer, right? The Gemara has line, the Mevik Chatzero. And that's clear from the continuation of the Gemara, which we didn't perhaps see yet anyway. There's Machlokes of Yochanan Rish Lakish, whether a minor, right, has a Kenyan Chatzer and Dala Amos or not, right? Rish Lakish says that Kitana Ein Lo Chatzer Ein Lo Dalet Amos. From Yochanan says Yesh Lo Chatzer Yesh Lo Dalet Amos, and they argue only about Chatzer. It's clear that Dalet Amos is a Drabbanan extension, which is inspired by building off of Kenyan Chatzer. Clearly, Dalet Amos is in some way similar to Kenyan Chatzer. Now we just have to figure out exactly how that works. The Avnei Miluim here, okay, I said around 1700, I didn't mean to exclude the Avnei Miluim, he was later. The Avnei Miluim here has a very, very classic, famous Chakira about the nature of Kenyan Dalet Amos, which is based on a Machlokas Rishonim in Gittin. The Gemara in Gittin Daf Ayin Ches points out that if the husband throws his wife a get in the street, if it's Karov La, she's Lugareshes. If it's Karov Lo, she's not Lugareshes. Right? So it depends how good his throwing arm is. And if it's Suffolk, then you get into Sukkos. Okay, what?
Not Suffolk, not Suffolk.
Sorry, if it's Mechza Mechza, or if you have two Edom who say Karv Lo, two Edom who say Karv Lo, right, okay, different. Right, Mechza Mechza is a suffix, and then the Gemara also has a case of what if you have two Edom say one side, two Edom say the other side. Okay, not for now. Now, there's a few interesting things in that Gemara. First of all, there it seems to work even with Rishus HaRabim, there it seems to work even more than Dalet Amos, but on the simple level, the first question we should have asked there is, if Dalet Amos in the Chol Makom is the Kana Drabbanan, then what's the question? How is she Mugareshes? For Gerashim, you need Daraisa, not Drabbanan, right? So, the Tosus Rid, I put him in brackets because it's not really Arminian, but has a very, very, very fundamental answer if you're learning Maseches Gittin. The Tosus Rid answer is that. He says, in Kinyonim, it's only a Kinyan Derabanan. But in Gittin, it's the Oraisa. In Kinyonim, of course, Dalet Amos, what do you mean, I'm in the street. Or I said, I'm in the alleyway, and it's next to me on the ground. That's only Derabanan. The Oraisa, that's not a Maisa Kinyan. In Mamanis, that's not a Maisa Kinyan. But in Gerishin, that's the Oraisa, because Gerishin is Venusim Biyada, and whatever is near her counts as Venusim Biyada. Why is this a very, very crucial Tosfos Rid to put in your file cabinet in the back of your head for Maseches Gittin? Because the fundamental Chakira in Hilchos Gittin, when we say V'nasa B'yada, does that mean the husband has to be machne to get to his wife for the Maisa Kinyan? Does the husband have to be do a Kinyan? The wife has to be kona to get the Maisa Kinyan? Or no, you need a Nesina. Is get like Kinyanim? Because in many ways it seems to be like Kinyanim. We use much of the same rules of Maisa Kinyanim. Or no, get is a Maisa Nesina, which has nothing to do with Kinyanim. Right, that has to do with the whole question of get Elisur Hanah works. So, can you be Koni Yisur Hanah? So, Sarah, right? Here we prove you can be Koni Yisur Hanah. Others say, no, you can't be Koni Yisur Hanah. All we've proven is that you can do a Maisa Nesina. So that's all question. Do the Nasim B'yada mean the Hikna law of Dine Choshe Mishvat? Or does it mean a Maisa Nesina having nothing to do with Choshe Mishvat? So, the Tosfos Rid here is one of the clearest Makoros in Rishonim that the Nasim B'yada of Gittin has nothing to do with Choshe Mishvat. It's a separate Maisa Nesina with its own rules in Gittin, and it has nothing to do with Bailos on the Get. He admits if the husband retains Bailos on the Get, that's a problem because Krisus being a Veleka. But, you know, if the husband doesn't specifically retain Bailos on the Get with an explicit stipulation, then as long as he does a Maisa Nesina, that is good enough. Okay, but that's not for our Inyan now. The Avnei Lum does not quote the Tosfos Rid. The Avnei Lum quotes the Ran and the Ramban. What is the Ran's answer that he quotes for this problem? How does... Moshe, please bring your Asbaklar Yehameyira. I'll give you a chance to retract.
Backwards?
Yes. Which I admit is longer. But still, I mean, it will be no Rabban Shem. Right, we have this question of how can Dalet Amos work for get if it's only Midrabanan? Right? So, I mentioned the Rid. The Tosfos Rid is here, but I think in greater length there. He says, Nisinas get does not have to be a valid Kinyan, just a Maisa Nisina, and you have a Maisa Nisina. Okay. What does the Ran say? Now here's the... This is the Chakira. The Rabbanan made a Takana. Anyone know what gives the Rabbanan the right to make Takanas in Mamonos? Meaning they could take Reuben's property and give it to Shimon. What property did they give me in their Takana to Rabbanan? What did the Ran say? What did they give me? Did they give me, let's get an example. There's a $100 bill on the street next to me. Did they give me the $100 bill, according to the Ran? No, they gave me the chutzah. They gave me the real estate, obviously temporarily. They gave me the Dalet Amos. Once it's my Dalet Amos, hold on. If the husband throws a get into his wife's chutzah, of course that works midoraisa. Nasa miyada, miyada's lav davki even chatzera. That's in the bottom of Yudom and Beis. So the Chazal gave him the chutzer. Once they gave him the chutzer, now it's a valid get midoraisa. So he says, gave him the Dalet Amos. So now... It's her chatzer, and it's a valid get min haTorah because it's her chatzer. And you know, it's only her chatzer. The Rabbanan didn't give her they didn't give me the $100 bill. They didn't use hefker bezin hefker on the $100 bill. They used hefker bezin hefker on the chatzer. Now it's her chatzer. She's divorced. Okay, what does the Ramban say? No, what does he say to answer this question? How the get works? Exactly. Afkin rabbanan l'kiddushin minei. Meaning, it's really not a valid get. Just they uprooted the kiddushin. But it's really not a valid get. So what's the machlokas? The machlokas is, he says, it is a valid get min ha-Torah. Rambam says, it is not a valid get min ha-Torah. But she was never married in the first place, so it comes out the same. Right? There could be subtle nafkaminas. There could be subtle nafkaminas. So let's say, you know, a Kohen married her next, would he get Malkus or not? Either way, he's also getting Drabanan, right? Since he's getting Drabanan, right? According to the Ran, the Kohen would get Malkus for marrying a Grusha. According to the Ramban, the Kohen would not get Malkus Mardus, because she's only Grusha Midrabanan Midoraisa, she's a Puya. And perhaps, you know, if there was, all of a sudden we discovered afterwards, right, if all of a sudden we discovered afterwards that in between she had had an illicit affair and had a baby, then according to the Ran, the baby would be a mamzer. And according to the Ramban, the baby would not be a mamzer, at least Mida Oraisa. Okay, whether she could do this on purpose in order to be Matara mamzer retroactively is a whole discussion. Machlokes Rishonim in the beginning of the fourth parak of Gittin, Ayin Shem Betosfos.
I think that's my question. Why doesn't the Ramban run into the problem where we try to mater agunas based on this, and we, you know, in the Gemara paskins that we can't mater agunas based on uprooting a marriage retroactively because it was done with that in Moshe Yisrael. So why does the Ramban allow it here?
Oh, no. So the Rishonim who say that you can only use Afkinu in limited circumstances say two limited circumstances. You just mentioned one. Either if the Kiddusha was done improperly, right, or if there was a get which was not fully executed. So this would be in the second category. But you're right, meaning as many Rishonim say, you can't do Afkinhu out of the clear blue. You have to have either a flaw in the Kiddushin or a get with a flaw.
But generally, I thought that's the Maskan of the Gemara. It's not even a Rishonim.
Okay, but this, not so posh, but depends how you read it. Okay, now, the question is, what's the Yesod of the Machlokes between the Ran and the Ramban? So, the Ran, now, the Ran gave his Svara. The Ramban obviously didn't accept the Ran's Svara. Right? But we don't know why. So his svara is very pashut. His svara is Chachamim gave her Dalet Amos. Right? Now it's her Chatzer Legamrei. And therefore, it's a valid Nesinas get, right? It's just like putting it into her backyard. So what did the Ran say back? What is the Ramban's response? So what is the Ramban's response? So the Avnei Miluim says, the Ramban could respond in two ways. The Avnei Miluim sort of, he doesn't say the Ramban could respond in two ways, but he says, this is what the Ramban responds, because it can't be that he says this. Anyone want to tell me one, at least, way he could respond?
It can't be a chatzer, because everybody, this one's chatzer and that one's chatzer, there's a conflicting... There's a conflict of who's chatzer.
Oh, hold on. Then how does Kinyan Dalet Amos work if it's not your chatzer?
Yeah, it's in a place where there aren't people conflicting.
No, that was just a thought example. You know, like philosophers do thought experiments, right? That's why it's cheaper to hire a philosopher than a physicist, because right, the lab that has no maintenance or construction or maintenance costs, right? All the experiments are in your head. So that's just a thought experiment. What he's saying is that, you know what, this Ran is not so pasha. There are three people there. Were Chazal Machna the Dalet Amos to all of them? Can't be. It's not a very strong kasha. What would the Ran answer if there are three people there? They can't all own the Dalet Amos. Talk of what the most Rishonim seem to think. If there are three people there, who owns the Dalet Amos? Anyone notice?
Whoever's first.
Right? So, yeah. But, so, wow. What does he say to answer the Ran?
Anything that came within.
Ah, exactly. So one is the Avnei Miluim's derech, is that the Ran and the Ramban are arguing about the Yesod of Kenyan Dalet Amos. Right? A brisker Hakira. The Avnei Limon says, Chazal didn't give you the Dalet Amos. They gave you the Chayfetz. And Echadam, it's modeled off Kinyan Chatzar. But when Chazal modeled it off Kinyan Chatzar, they can do that in one of two ways. They can say, Hefker, there's a $100 bill next to me, right, on the, maybe even here. There's a whole big discussion of what if you have places that belong to non-profit communal organizations. But most people assume that the $200 bill doesn't belong to whoever works in the office upstairs or the board of trustees, belongs to whoever finds it. Right now it's in my Dalet Amos. So there are two ways to in economy, it's dumya de chatzar. But still, how did Chazal do it? One way is to say, the Ron says, dumya de chatzar is dumya de chatzar. They use hefker and hefker to give me this Dalet Amos of floor. It's in my chatzar. The Rambam would say, nah, that's going a little too far. They're going to start giving everyone else's property? Nah, why are they giving me someone else's floor? Nah, what Chazal did is hefker and hefker, they gave me the $100 bill. Right? Now, either way, I get the $100 bill. That's not the question. Question is for Gittin. If Chazal gave me the floor, they gave me the real estate, now it's a valid get. Husband threw a get into my real estate. But if Chazal gave me the chayfetz, then how did the wife get the get? She got the get through hefker, bezin, hefker. Hold on. A get through hefker, bezin, hefker is not a valid gerushin. What's the only valid... If she gets a get through kinyan chalipin, is that a valid gerushin? No. If she gets a get through kinyan agav, is that a valid gerushin? No. If she gets the get through, I don't even know what, ma'os konos midoraisa, whatever, weird cases. No. What's the only valid way to receive a get? Venasa b'yada. It has to go into her hand or her chatzer. Right? Therefore, they gave you the chayfetz, but it doesn't work for get because the chayfetz was not placed in her yad or chatzer. And Echnami, she owns the get through Dalet Amos. Hefker and then she owns the get. She can sell the piece of paper. But that doesn't help. Because if she gave her husband a handkerchief and got the get through Chalipin, she wouldn't be divorced. If she did a chazakah, Kenyan Kesser Starin chazakah on his field here and got the get in Kalamazoo, she wouldn't be divorced. Get only works if you have a Kenyan Yad or chatzer. And therefore, that's why Ramban thinks it's not a valid get mina Torah, because it wasn't put in her chatzer, because Chazal didn't give her the chatzer. They gave her the get, but that doesn't help. The husband has a get on his desk at home, and Chazal say hefker bezin hefker belongs to the wife. She's not divorced. Why? Because Chazal gave her the get. The husband has to give her the get. The husband didn't give her the get. The husband put the get on the street. Chazal gave her the get. That doesn't work.
Point
of
mind, it's like put the get in the
car and
says, take the get.
Exactly, it's like Kli get to me Abikarka. Exactly, it's like Kli get to me. She got the get, but her husband didn't give it to her. Her husband didn't put it in her reshus.
You're just saying Rabban made the comment that this is, we don't worry about that, is what you're saying?
And then what they had to do was uproot the Kiddushin. Since it was a puzzle get, the only thing they could do to make her divorce is to uproot the Kiddushin and make her a Pnimiya. Now, there is another way which the Avnei Limon takes pains to reject, although I'm not entirely convinced, to justify the Ramban. What's the other way to justify the Ramban? A famous Chakir of the Achron and the Avnei Limon mentions here. So the famous discussion that we've shown in Achronim, whether a Kinyan Durabbanon of Hefker Bezin Hefker counts for Doraisas. The old Chakir of whether Kinyan Durabbanon Mo'el Doraisa or not. And Achronim Echamed, the power of Hefker Bezin Hefker, but is that recognized on the Doraisa level or not? Now that is a very, very subtle issue, which we're not going to attack head on. But you could have said a different way. And the Avnei Limon knows this. He takes pains to say you could have said. Or you could have said, right? You could have said that Chazal gave you the Dalet Amos, but the Rabbanan property doesn't count for dinim d'oraisa, and that's why it's not a valid get midoraisa, because in a time they gave you the dalamos. But this is the old question. If you have something, because if hefker bezin hefker, does that count as yours for the Torah or not? So maybe you could have said the Raman says no. Therefore, in a time chazal gave you the dalamos, but it's only yours midrabanan, and d'rabanan property doesn't count for purposes of d'oraisa. Even though you might have thought, if it's your property, it's your property, who cares why? Lice, it's your property. Who cares how it became your property? You could say, no, there's the Shita, the Rambam, and many Achronim, that Durabbanan property doesn't count for purposes of D'oraisa. Therefore, for example, right, if I sold Gottesman a cow with the Kenyan Durabbanan, the question is, can that cow eat truma or not? That gets a little more complicated because it's not clear if truma d'oraisa for cows. But if I sell something as a kidney d'rabbanan, does that count for d'oraisas or not? So that is a big machlokas rishonim. So you could have, again, what did Rabban and Ran arguing about? You could have had true drachim. The non-avnim lum derech say they both admit Chazal used hefker bezin hefker to give you the dalet amos. Just, the Ran says, now it's her dalet amos. The Ran says, now it's only her dalet amos mi d'rabbanan, but mi d'oraisa doesn't count. They argue whether d'rabbanan property counts for d'oraisas. The Avdim Lum doesn't like that way. Why? Because he says, if that was true, then not only wouldn't the get be valid d'oraisa, if he threw her kiddushin, it also wouldn't be valid mi d'oraisa, because d'rabbanan property doesn't count. And he really doesn't like the conclusion that the kiddushin is not valid mi d'oraisa. So instead he says, no, in Kiddushin it's just enough that she ends up owning something and benefiting from it. So the Kinyan Durabbanan counts for Doraisa. But he says, what's the Machlokas Ran and Ramban? The Ran holds Chachamim used Hefker Bezin Hefker to give you the land. The Ramban holds they used Hefker Bezin Hefker to give you the Chayfetz. Therefore he says, if I throw my wife a ring in her Dalet Amos, that works me Doraisa. Through Hefker Bezin Hefker, it's her ring. And as long as her ring, it doesn't matter how it got to her, that's a valid Kiddushin. But forget where I need Venasa Miyada, right, for Kiddushin, Tlee Kiddushin Miyagabi Karka, works. I don't have to give her the ring. As long as she gets the ring, that's enough. But forget now, I have to give her the get, since I didn't give her the get, because I threw it into no one's Dalet Amos. Chazal gave her the get through Hefker Bezin Hefker, that's not a valid get. That's how the Avnei Miluim reads the Machlokas.
I don't understand the second option in Avnei Miluim. Like, what does it mean to own something midirabanan? So any object that I own, that if somewhere along the line somebody was calling midirabanan, I don't own it midiraisa?
Well, almost, except for the fact that if, like, 8 steps down the line there was only kinyan d'rabbanan, then it could be, since the person was misyayish by now, or there was yayish and shini rishus 7 steps ago, so you ended up getting it. I mean, as long as it's 2 steps back and there was yayish, you could have yayish and shini rishus and get around it. But if it was 1 step, so really, once it's 2 steps back, you're better off, because you have yayish and shini rishus. But if it's 1 step back, you really have a problem.
But nonetheless, you were saying that the whole reason gave the Alamos that people shouldn't fight, and there is some sort of nafkamina that people still might fight. So what is this takana really?
No, either way they're not going to fight. According to the Ran, they're not going to fight because whoever got there first, it's his land, and he gets whatever's there. According to the Ramban, they're not going to fight because whoever maybe got there first, or whoever, you know. Let's say also.
The only thing is the Ramban, that's what I'm saying.
That's fine, then they won't fight. If it's history upon them, they won't fight.
No, maybe they will, because maybe they will be...
They don't know this.
They don't know this.
Smart enough to know this Lundus probably wouldn't be poor.
Uh-huh. I mean, why does it have to be Durabonopoxy?
That's exactly the other option to say. Ah, okay. Surely Hefker Bezin Hefker is Doraisa, you're telling me. Right? So the truth is, let me just go back and answer Chaim. Even if it was 1 step back, if I only own something in the Rabbanon, but then I put it in my house or pick it up, now I'm doing Kenyan D'oraisa, as long as the guy before him was a Messiah, then that's good enough. Right? So therefore, most things would end up being my D'oraisa if I took them home. Right? It's only, the nafkamina of this Kenyan D'Rabbanon being mold for D'oraisa or not is only until I take them home or pick them up. Because then I've done a Kenyan D'oraisa, and assuming the other guy hasn't changed his mind and still doesn't want it, then it's valid. Okay, so Sam, you're right. This is a big chiddush to say that Kenyan D'Rabbanan is not molded D'oraisa, because after all, Hefker Bezin Hefker is Hefker Bezin Hefker is Doraisa. I think it probably ties into the question, which comes up in the end. This is a very beautiful Avnei Miluim here. It's like a very, again, very Lundish Avnei Miluim. By the time you get in 1700, only the Machne Ephraim, maybe one other person really talked like a modern day Yeshiva Shir. By the time you get to the mid-1700s, the Ketos and the Sivos, right, are all over, you know, half the time, are writing in the style of a modern day Yeshiva Shir.
Is that after the Lashon? Did he after the
Lashon? No. No.
No.
I mean, he was almost at the time. Anyway, so the answer to Sam is that it's really the Hakir, but the Kinyan Rabbanu Mahanan Doraisa is a Kinyan about, is a Hakira about the nature of Hefker Bezin Hefker. Does Hefker Bezin Hefker really mean that Midoraisa Chazal decide who has Bailus? In which case, a Kinyan Rabbanu Mahanan Doraisa. If there's a din, God said, right? Hashem said that the Beis Din assigns Bailus. Then it's Mahani the Doraisa. The other option is, no, look at Hefker Bezin Hefker. Chazal, Hashem said that the Beis Din can punish people and violate their property rights. That Beis Din is exempt from Lo Sigzo. It's not that they can assign Bailus. It's just that it's mucher for them to violate your Bailus. That's the Chakira. Does Hefker Bezin Hefker mean they can determine Bailus? Or does Hefker Bezin Hefker mean they can violate Bailus? If it means, this is very, probably just a different way of saying the classic Machlokas the Maharshal analyzes in the Yamshel Shlomo, whether Hefker Bezin Hefker can assign Bailus or only take away Bailus. So that's the question. If Hefker Bezin Hefker means Chazal get the books where they write who's the Bailum of what, and the Bezin can write whatever they want, then it's Mahani the Doraisa. But if Hefker Bezin Hefker means no, a Bailum is a Bailum. The Bezdin can violate your Bailus because just like they can kill people, even though normally you have the right to not be killed, and just like they could beat you up even though normally you have the right not to be assaulted and battered, they can take away your property even though it's your property. And then, we would say, Kinyan Darabanan is mutter. Hefker Bezin Hefker is a heter. It's mutter midoraisa. But that doesn't mean that it is your Kinyan midoraisa. And this is the classic Hakira. This is similar to the, it's not exactly the same, classic Hakira Marshal. Does Hefker Bezin Hefker mean they can be mocked or something? But, or does it even mean they can give it to someone else? Okay, that's already, I will leave you to investigate this on your own. If you really want to see more Makoros on it, on Hefker Bezin Hefker at least, you can probably look in Encyclopedia Tabla Dit. If you want to see more Makoros on whether a Kinyan Darabanan works for a Doraisa, I don't know. I have to figure out where you can look. Now, so let's just make sure, okay, we're going to have to stop and continue next time. Let's just make sure we understand what the Avnei Miluim is saying, and now I know no one got to the Avnei Miluim yet. So now you can go back and read the Avnei Miluim and appreciate all the finer points of the discussion, or not everyone got the Avnei Miluim yet.
We had it.
Okay.
We had it.
So and you can see why he's rejecting number two, and I'm not entirely convinced, because the linchpin of his rejecting number two is that you can't also say that the Kiddushin are only valid with Rabbanan, because then why if someone else in the Kaddishah wouldn't it work? And don't say anyone that other guy, because they never did that. Say, no, they didn't never do that. They only sometimes did it. Okay. Ayin Shum. Kitzer, the Ran has a great theory in Dalet Amos. Chazal were makir the land and gave you the land. That's why it's a valid gittin. He threw it in her land. What the Ramban can answer back, what the Avnei Miluim doesn't like, is, he doesn't even like this for the Rambam, who holds this. That's what he says in the end, which ties into things we discussed earlier. Look in the end what he said in the Rambam, put that back in your notes where it belongs, a month and a half ago. What he doesn't like to say, the Ran thinks Chazal gave her the land, and now it's hers for the Torah purposes also. The Ramban thinks Chazal gave her the land, but for Torah purposes, that's not recognized. What he prefers to say is that the Ran thinks Chazal gave her the land, and the Ramban thinks Chazal gave her the paper. So if Chazal gave her the land, the husband did have anasa miyada. It's a valid get. Chazal gave her the paper, she might own the paper, but she didn't own it because of anasa miyada. She owned it because of Hefker Beis Din, and therefore she is not divorced. If she's not divorced, then how could she be divorced? Afkin Rabban L'Kiddushin Minei, she's not divorced, she's actually was never married. Now, this is basically Chakir and Kinyan Dalet Amos, which again is not Mochach. And for the sake of honesty, I'm saying you could have said they both agree to the wrong side of the hakir and argue about something else. What we'll do next time is we'll just put together some things that might tie into, far from Mavrach, but might tie into this hakir about the nature of Dalet Amos, and then look briefly at a few other things in this sugya on Monday. Yes?
Can you email us this?
This sheet? I can certainly email you this. I can certainly email you this sheet.